also will serve as the basis for the sermon comes from the Gospel of Luke. And we read there in the 13th chapter. Now he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you're freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. The ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, not on the Sabbath day." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And he said these things, all of his adversaries were put to shame. All the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. This is God's word for us today. Well, first of all, it's good to be back from vacation. I spent it in a place that most of us don't go, amid cornfields and soybean fields and tractors and county fairs and piglets and all kinds of different kinds of things. So it was great, but it's good to be back and be with you this morning. One of the things that I began talking about this morning was how amazed I've become at how our politics have creeped in to our language. And not only our language, but our culture and our religion. I mean, words that we are so used to saying, even reading, and not even giving them a second thought, are now somehow offensive. You see, it's no longer politically correct to use the word crippled. We are now supposed to say disabled. And we can't even use the word disabled in baseball anymore, of all things. I mean, it's not the disabled list anymore. It's the injured list. And I suppose I get it, but, you know, the Bible was not written for people in the 21st century political correctness atmosphere. And so I ask you to forgive me this morning if I kick against the word police a little bit in my sermon. So our scripture lesson today begins with a woman who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Now, this passage has a double dose of non-PC speech, since it's also no longer cool to believe in demons either. You see, those nasty spirits have been reduced simply to quirks in people's personalities. I mean, I know you've heard many people say, "Well, he's dealing with his demons." They probably don't really mean demons. They just like to use or misuse the word, maybe give it a new understanding. So in this PCV, politically correct version, Jesus is presented with a woman who has been disabled by some psychological disorder, addiction, or pervasive habit. And her demon of disability had her hunched over for 18 years, and it seems no one could help straighten her out. Bad pun, I know, but anyway. So Jesus is teaching one Saturday in the local synagogue, and he couldn't help but notice this woman and her very prominent malady. And unlike other times in Jewish history, at the time of Jesus, there were some synagogues where women were allowed to play a prominent part in the synagogue worship. Much of that is reversed, or been reversed in recent times. But when Jesus was there that day, there probably wasn't a separation of the sexes, and women were counted among the number of religious, even for the quorum, which had to be 10. And so for this ailing woman to be present in worship was really not something extraordinary. It did become extraordinary, however, when Jesus calls her out of the congregation. Now, as she got up to walk forward, I'm sure there was a lot of murmuring going on. Things probably got either thought, or maybe someone turned to the person next to them in the pew and whispered under their voice, who does she think she is? What is she doing? And Jesus probably heard, and so he just really ignored her or them, and he just simply said, "Woman, you're free from your infirmity." As almost on cue, Jesus places his hands on the woman, and Scripture indicates that she immediately, not struggling, but she immediately stood up straight. Now, it's not clear in which town this occurred, but it was probably in one of those small towns in Galilee where Jesus had been traveling and ministering. But whatever the case, everyone gathered for worship that day knew this woman. She had been in the community. They would have understood that her disability was real because, well, they had seen her as she struggled along. I mean, 18 years. That's since 2001. And so there was no question that this was a true healing on Jesus' part. There was a lot of indignation. See, the incident took place on the Sabbath. No work was allowed on the Sabbath, and any self-respecting Jew would observe that law. And so the leader of the synagogue obviously felt that healing was some sort of work. Now, there were doctors of sorts back in Jesus' day. They were physicians who, at best, were people who used herbs and spices and oils to attempt healing. And at worst, they were nothing more than shamans who used incantations and magical spells. But whatever, they had to work to attempt a healing. And so we could say, in this synagogue leader's defense, the judgment would have been accurate in most circumstances. But Jesus is no ordinary physician. In fact, he's not a physician. Now, I know that might shock some of you, because sometimes we refer to Jesus as the great physician. But, you know, Jesus obviously was in a class by himself. And as it was, it could be argued that he was not doing any work in the healing of the woman, at least not in the same way that other physicians would work. Yeah, that's why I often wonder why in the Old Testament, reading the Word of God and expounding on the Scriptures was not considered work, but healing a woman on the Sabbath was. Maybe that's why the rabbis sat down when they read and taught, so that people would maybe see them more more relaxed and not working hard. But whatever. The synagogue ruler wasn't, he didn't have enough nerve to attack Jesus directly. And so he makes his remarks to the congregation. He says, there are 6 days to do work. So come back on Monday, come back tomorrow to be healed. You know, on those days, not the Sabbath day. So in essence, he castigates the whole congregation, and in particular, this woman with an 18-year demon. Now, I have a suspicion maybe that this leader maybe was a bit skeptical to begin with. We know that they were always looking for some kind of slip-up on Jesus' part, so that they maybe then could jump in and save the day and embarrass him. And Jesus met all kinds of attitudes almost everywhere he taught. So why should this be any different? And as we will see in Jesus' answer, the synagogue ruler was not the only one opposed to what was going on. Another aspect of the man's action may have been the desire to stave off any further problem. I mean, if Jesus was indeed doing work on the Sabbath, the ruler sure didn't want any more other people getting healed. I mean, we couldn't have the worship messed up, right? But having people suddenly stand up and come up for prayer and healing in the middle of the sermon? I mean, that wouldn't work, would it? And so he couldn't just stand there in silence and allow others to step up to be cured. I mean, undoubtedly there were other disorders among the congregation. Wouldn't each of them want their demons removed? So nipping it in the bud seemed like maybe a good solution to the problem that day. Of course, Jesus had none of it. He immediately speaks out, and he speaks out harshly. Now, I might add, he used the word hypocrites. For you English majors, you notice that that's plural. It wasn't just nailing the synagogue ruler. He was speaking to everyone there who was in opposition to the healing of this woman. And obviously, there must have been several. He knows from experience that it probably had less to do with the day of the week and more to do with trying to trap the teacher into making a mistake. They were probably on the outlook for a good gotcha moment when they could get Jesus, but he wasn't going to give them one. So he pointed at each of them. He said, you know, you don't think anything about untying your donkey or your ox and taking it to get a drink of water on the Sabbath. And yet, this woman who's been out of shape, and notice what he calls her, this daughter of Abraham. This was not a Gentile. This was not some kind of foreigner. This was a Jewish woman from the community, a member of the congregation. Frees her from her bondage. Hypocrites. Kind of fits, doesn't it? But unlike other passages where Jesus casts out demons, you know, very little is made other than the mention here. But he does, however, end this discourse by reminding his opponents that it was Satan who had bound this woman for the past 18 years, and now Satan had to be evicted. The demon is gone, the woman stands upright, the hypocrites are humiliated. So political correctness aside, evil spirits can cripple any of us. They're spirits of greed, they're spirits of gossip, they're spirits of envy. They're spirits of lust. And in today's story, we see that this spirit of legalism at work. You know, the enemies of Christ were too bound by the law to stand by and let God work on the Sabbath. As Jesus had reminded a different group of people, the Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. To place the day above the dire needs of a human being is not God's way. So legalistically interpreting God's law is a spiritual problem with which we all need to deal. And it seems as though most of the religious leaders of Jesus' day were not willing to do that. On the other hand, Jesus was anything but legalistic. His compassion, and maybe all human compassion as well, transcends the law. His detractors, I'll grant you, they may have been technically correct. Still, in the end, they were humiliated for their attitude. We can take a lesson from their stubborn adherence to the law, even as it flies in the face of human decency. You see, the synagogue's leader, his actions and attitude is disturbing on many levels. At first, he saw truth as being on his side, and he allowed it to make him insensitive to the disabled woman's right. Healing may indeed be work, but the greater principle displayed by Jesus is compassion. He is completely accurate to use the descriptive word hypocrites. So by his actions and his words in this passage, Jesus is telling us that restrictions, laws, rules, institutions can be important. Even good at times. But if we aren't careful, they can keep us from the charity to which God has called us. Compassion is always appropriate. Love God and love your neighbor. When you've done that and accomplished that, then you can point to your scribal laws, but not before. Today, society seems to have a way of dehumanizing us. And we can become slowly desensitized to the plight of others around us. I mean, increasingly, we fail to see the worth of humanity before a righteous God. The woman in Luke's story had been dehumanized. She had been reduced to little or no value. The law of Moses had become more important in people's eyes than a disfigured woman. As much as the woman's back was bent, the legalistic spirit bent someone's soul even more. You know, nothing can choke our hearts and our walk with God like legalism. And I will be the first to admit that Christians should be disciplined. However, we can become so rigid in our beliefs that our discipline cripples us. So, you might ask, does this mean that we just chuck all rules? Of course not. You know, we know that most of them are in place for a good reason. And as long as that reason is still in existence, the rule is probably effective and necessary. Never allow rules to rule over us. Even our laws need to be sanctified by the sanctifier of life. No, Jesus told us to seek and to save the lost. And he certainly did that. And yet along the way, he did a few other things as well. The healing of the woman with a crippling spirit was one example. Too many times, our penchant for doing what we think is truly right actually gets in the way. Some, like the synagogue ruler and his congregation, would rather stand in Jesus' way than have him do something which we don't agree. Our our attitude often becomes one of, Lord, touch this man's life, but I want you to do it the way I want you to do it. So we're not the healer. We're not the savior. We're not the lawgiver. But we are as witnesses. And when the witnesses begin to lay down the law to the healer, we're running afoul of God's presence in the world. Jesus is the savior of all, even our humanity. So never allow the law to demean that humanity. I mean, each of us is precious to God, and each of us should be precious to one another. Christians like to say, love the sinner, hate the sin. That's okay as far as it goes, but don't let it go too far. Don't let it allow your hatred for someone else's sin to negate your compassion for them. You know, the woman with the crippling spirit was a sinner. She was in need of healing. Jesus didn't allow those kinds of attitudes to dissuade his ability and his willingness to do something about her condition. Walk with Jesus. We dare not allow our own attitudes to cripple our ability to follow in his footsteps with compassion